ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಗವದ್ಗೀತಾ ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ 13 ಕ್ಷೇತ್ರ ಕ್ಷೇತ್ರಜ್ಞ ವಿಭಾಗ ಯೋಗ ಶ್ಲೋಕ 13 ಜ್ಞೇಯಂ ಯತ್ತತ್ ಪ್ರವಕ್ಷ್ಯಾಮಿ ಯಜ್ಞಾತ್ವಾಮೃತಮಶ್ನುತೆ ಜ್ಞೇಯಂ ಯತ್ತತ್ ಪ್ರವಕ್ಷ್ಯಾಮಿ ಯಜ್ಞಾತ್ವಾಮೃತಮಶ್ನುತೆ ಅನಾದಿಮತ್ ಪರಂ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ನ ಸತ್ತನ್ನಾಸದುಚ್ಯತೆ ಅನಾದಿಮತ್ ಪರಂ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ನ ಸತ್ತನ್ನಾಸದುಚ್ಯತೆ. ಸೊ ಹಿಯರ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹಿಮ್ಸೆಲ್ಫ್ ಇಂಟ್ರೊಡ್ಯೂಸಸ್ ಎ ನ್ಯೂ ಟಾಪಿಕ್. ಇಫ್ ಯು ರಿಮೆಂಬರ್, ಅರ್ಜುನ ಆಸ್ಡ್ 6 questions, 6 topics ಆಕ್ಚುಲಿ. ಪ್ರಕೃತಿಂ ಪುರುಷಂಚೈವ ಕ್ಷೇತ್ರಂ ಕ್ಷೇತ್ರಜ್ಞಮೇವಚ ಏತತ್ ವೇದಿತುಂ ಇಚ್ಛಾಮಿ ಜ್ಞಾನಂ ಜ್ಞೇಯಂ ಚ ಕೇಶವ. ದಟ್ ವಾಸ್ ದಿ ಶ್ಲೋಕ ವೇರ್ ಅರ್ಜುನ ವಾಂಟೆಡ್ ಟು ನೋ ವಾಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಪ್ರಕೃತಿ, ವಾಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಪುರುಷ, ವಾಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಕ್ಷೇತ್ರಂ, ವಾಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಕ್ಷೇತ್ರಜ್ಞ, ಅಂಡ್ ವಾಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಜ್ಞಾನಂ, ಅಂಡ್ ವಾಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಜ್ಞೇಯಂ. ಅಂಡ್ ಆಫ್ ಆಲ್ ದೀಸ್ 6 topics, Krishna is not taking in the order in which Arjuna asked. He has already answered what is Kshetram, what is Kshetrajna, and what is Jnanam. That's what we have seen up to the last webinar. Now Krishna enters into the 4th topic in this shloka. Yat Jnayam Tat Pravakshyami. Now I shall teach you that which is known as Jnayam. So the topic is Jnayam. What is Jnayam? So the 4th topic is Jnayam, which is from Shloka 13 to Shloka 18. 6 slokas Krishna is devoting for answering this topic. What is Jnayam going to be? Jnayam in this context is Param Brahma, the ultimate reality or the truth that is to be known. The literal meaning of the word Jnayam is that which to be known by all people. Everybody has to know this. That is all to be known. That is, in the case of other things of life, we can know or we need not know. That could be option. Everyone need not know physics. Everyone need not know economics, law, astrology. They are all optional. That is, you may know it according to your inclination or according to your own likes or dislikes. They are all optional knowledge. But as far as Brahman is concerned, the truth is concerned, it is not optional. Everyone will have to know one day or the other. Why do we say that everyone will have to know it? Some people may say, I am not interested in truth at all. Why should I bother about a truth which is not anywhere around? Yes, Brahman you are talking about. Because all other knowledge help me in my day-to-day life. They have tangible benefits. And many people dislike even philosophy also. Lot of people. For that, the answer is given that the knowledge of truth, namely Jnayam alone, will give one contentment, fulfillment, peace, ananda, fearlessness, security in life. All those things this alone can give. Brahmavit apnoti param. That's what Upanishad said. The one who knows Brahman, he attains the supreme. In Western philosophies, truth is studied as what? As an intellectual curiosity. That is what in Western education, most of the time they do. But in our culture, the study of truth is not for intellectual curiosity or for a degree or as an exercise, not to get a PhD or any of those. The knowledge of the truth is supposed to fulfill the very life that I have taken this Janma. And the fulfillment of life is not an optional thing for anyone. Because every human being is searching for this fulfillment of life only. Whether the person is literate, whether he is illiterate, whether he is a Hindu, Christian, Muslim, young, old, male, female. All of them. They all seek shanti. Tushtihi, stripti, purnatvam. They all seek that. And this purnatvam is gained by brahmajnanam. That is what it gives. And so everyone needs what? Brahmajnanam. Okay. And if everyone needs brahmajnanam only, And if that alone is going to give me Purnatvam, then why is it that everyone is not coming to Brahma Jnanam and Vedanta classes? In fact, whenever they want to say anything as dry, they will say it as dry as Vedanta. It is a standard example for a dry subject. Or it is a tool for putting somebody to sleep. Our Acharya used to tell a story where a learned Pandita, he went to a very rich man and told him, "So I have learned a lot of Vedanta and all, so I would like to teach you some Vedanta. So would you like to listen to Vedanta?" Then this rich man said, "Oh, that's very nice. Why don't you come and teach me from tomorrow?" This Pandita was very happy. But before leaving, he just asked a question. "How long you think I should teach you? I can come tomorrow. How long you think I should take to teach you?" The person said, "No problem. As long as, you know, until I go to sleep, you can teach me Vedanta." That means he wants to use Vedanta as a tool to sleep. So that is what many people think. Whatever they want to say as dryness, they think Vedanta is dry. Manushyanam sahasreshu kaschit yatati. Only among thousands of people, only very few, they even try to come to Vedanta. The reason is what? Everyone wants fulfillment and peace alone, but they are ignorant of the fact that Brahma Jnanam will give it. They don't know that. They don't know that Brahma Jnanam will give fulfillment. They have got a delusion that fulfillment will come through profession, through family, through children, through earning. And so, not knowing the means, they are all searching. But strictly speaking, everyone need Brahma Jnanam only. There is no doubt about it at all. That is why the Vedas are so obsessed. Veda knows that everyone wants Brahma Jnanam only. And it has got Brahma Jnanam. So it wants to come to everybody. Everybody wants to come to Vedas. But people are busy running here and there with so many day-to-day life and all that. So Vedas say, okay, go wherever you want to go and come finally to me only. So dandramyamanaha pariyanti mudaha andeneva niyamana yatantaha. Katopanishad, we saw that. So like andeneva, like a blind man, all these mudas, they are all going here and there. After all, we have got human janma, we have got many janmas. This is not the end of life. So we have got many janmas. So go as much as you want in this life. You know, take whatever you need to put. So don't come to Vedanta, keep on procrastinating. But ultimately, what you have to know is only one thing, that is Nyayam Brahma. And so Brahman is called as the thing to be known by all, that is Nyayam. And incidentally, one more point is there. The word Nyayam can create a confusion. Swamiji says, Nyayam means the thing to be known. Normally, what is the dictionary meaning? It means an object of knowledge. That is what is Nyayam. That's what dictionary meaning for Nyayam is. That means what? It will create this confusion because Brahman, the truth, is not going to be an object of knowledge that we have told many times. Then how are we going to know that Brahman if it is not an object of knowledge? The Brahman has to be known as the very I, the subject. That is what is to be known. So Nyayam here is what? One should not think it is an object. Nyayam means the thing to be known as myself, my very self. In Mandukya Upanishad, it is said, Brahman is never Nyayam at all. And if you happen to study that Upanishad, and at that time, if you remember this, then how these two things are contradicting, one will say. So here, Nyayam means the knowledge that Brahma Aham Asmi. That is the knowledge. I am Atma Brahma. So this is the knowledge one has to have. So Krishna promises here, Yati Nyayam Tat Pravakshyami. I will tell you that Nyayam. Then immediately Krishna gives the palam also. By knowing this, what will you gain? He says that, Yat Nyatva Amrutatvam Ashnute. Knowing which Nyayam Brahma, one attains immortality. Amrutatvam. Immortality is a representative word. It indicates Purnatvam, Tripti, Trushti, Abhayam. All those things it indicates. A person gains all of them. Yajnatvam, Moksham, Ashnute. This is the introduction. So from the second line onwards, Krishna begins to define the Gnyayam Vastu, the ultimate reality. That is what is going to be talked about from the second line onwards. So this portion can be taken as the condensed portion of the Upanishad, the essence of the Upanishad. And so it is a subtle topic, just as we saw the second chapter shlokas 12 to 25, if you remember. The Sthita Prajna, that portion, Atma was talked about, that it was the Tvampada. In Tattvamasi, the Tvampada was talked about there. But here it is the Tatpada, that is Brahman. Because of these portions only, people say that the 13th portion is a very difficult, 13th chapter is a very difficult chapter. Because this contains the Upanishadic essence. Chapter 11, etc. are all no problem. All hands are Krishna's hands, all legs are Krishna's hands, all eyes are Krishna's hands. That's Krishna's eyes. That's all fine. But here it is a much subtler topic. Now, what is the Gnyayam Vastu? If you ask that question, Krishna says, Gnyayam is Param Brahma. This Gnyayam, the ultimate reality to be known, is called Param Brahma. Brahma means infinite, the biggest, and Param means free from all limitations. Desha, Kala, Vastu, Paricheta, Shunyam, Param. So it has no limitations of any kind. That which is free from three types of limitations. Desha. Desha means space-wise limitation. Then Kala. Kala means time-wise limitation. And Vastu. Vastu means property-wise limitation. It is beyond all this. So this alone we call it as the absolute. So, Param Brahma, that means Brahman the Absolute, and because of this alone, it is going to be extremely difficult to define Param Brahma. Because if you say Brahman is in the atom, then it will have Desha limitation, space limitation, confined to space. Wherever we locate the ultimate truth, we will have limitation. Or if you say that after 30 years of research, I have produced the ultimate truth in the laboratory, then it will have Kala Parichedaha. So scientists cannot produce it, Brahma. Not only that, it is extremely difficult to reveal it as an object also. Because if I reveal it as an object, then it will be different from the subject, myself. Then that also will be another type of limitation. Because then I am not inclusive in that infinite Brahma. Because the object has got objectness. That means it does not have subjectness. These are all words I'm just coining. So the very-ness is the limitation. Book is limited by bookness, because of which it does not enjoy tableness. So we can understand it that way. Thus, the very objectness will differentiate it from the subject, which is a limitation. So it is extremely difficult to define the absolute, absolute Brahman. That is why the Upanishads use a very peculiar method to define the Brahman. What is the Param Brahma? It says Anadimat. Anadimat means it does not have a beginning. Adi, Anadi, it is Anadi. Mat means endowed with. So beginningless. Not only that, now Krishna is putting a real bombshell. Na sat, tat na asat uchyate. Tat, tat means that Brahman, which is Gnyayam, Nasat. Nasat means is not existent. Then why struggle so much about a non-existent Vastu? If Krishna says it is not existing, then Krishna immediately says, Tat na asat. It is not non-existent also. It is not existent. It is not non-existent also. That means it is neither existent nor it is non-existent. How is it possible? How can we say that it is neither of them? Okay. Normally, the word existence is used by us as associated with a temporary object, a perishable object. Therefore, what happens? When the existence is associated with a temporary object, the existence also appears to be temporary. Existent table, existent person. That is, we always know existence as what? Associated with the person, associated with an object, a pen or a table, etc. And what is the nature of this object? They are all perishable. And when the object perishes, we think that not only the object has perished, we think that the existence principle also is gone with that. So when the table is destroyed, what do we say? Now the table is non-existent. Before it was existent, now it is non-existent. Before the birth of the table also, it was non-existent. So previously there was non-existence, then it got existence, then came non-existence again. Similarly, when we talk about people, we say that person's grandfather is non-existent now. Yesterday or a few days ago, existence was associated with him. Now what is associated with him? Non-existence is associated with him. So we find existence and non-existence as temporary things, both coming and going. This is called Vyavaharika Satyam or Sat. And we know that Vyavaharika Asat. So Vyavaharika Sat is used with existent object and Vyavaharika Asat is used with non-existent object. And now what do I possess? Vyavaharika Sat is what I possess now because I am existent now apparently. How long this will continue? Till the body perishes. Once the body perishes, what do I have? Vyavaharika Asat, non-existence. Both are temporary. Okay, not only both are temporary, they are mutually exclusive also. Both cannot coexist together. Where Vyavaharika Sat is there, we cannot have Vyavaharika Asat and vice versa. They do not have simultaneous existence, mutually exclusive, like light and darkness. We have to tolerate this type of subtle discussion until the 18th shloka, so be prepared. So at 8:30, 9 o'clock, I don't want to put people to sleep like that Vedanta teacher and that Rishma. So the Sat and Asat that we normally talk about is Vyavaharika Sat and Vyavaharika Asat. They are not the true Paramarthika Sat. They are Vyavaharika, practical or relative. Now here the Parambrahma is neither Vyavaharika Sat or Vyavaharika Asat. It is something different from both and which is the illuminator of both. Because when we say something is existent, do we know it or not? We cannot say it existent if you don't know it. So to say something is existent, it must be illumined. To say something is non-existent also, it must be illumined. I went to see him, he was not there. I go to see somebody, I went to see him, he was not there. That illumining principle must be common to both of them. So it is neither Vyavaharika Sat nor Vyavaharika Asat. It is the illuminator of both of them. That is Parambrahma. Now, can the illuminator of both of them be called Vyavaharika Sat or Vyavaharika Asat? If it is called Vyavaharika Sat, then the problem is what? When Vyavaharika Asat comes, this cannot be there to illumine that. Same way, if the illuminator is Vyavaharika Asat, then it will not be there to illumine the Vyavaharika Sat. So the illuminator should be along with both. It is not limited to either of them. That means it should be different from both of them. The illuminator is there because I am aware of Vyavaharika Sat in Jagradavastha, in waking state and in Swapnavastha. And Vyavaharika Asat is there in Sushuptiavastha, in the deep sleep state. Everything there is resolved. But both of them are illumined because I know both of them. So there is an illuminator. It is existent. At the same time, it is neither Vyavaharika Sat nor Vyavaharika Asat. Then what is it called? It is called Paramarthika Sat. It is the absolute existence, which is never subject to non-existence at all. Whereas all other things have relative existence, subject to non-existence later. This absolute existence illumines relative existence as well as relative non-existence, both. So Paramarthika Sat illumines Vyavaharika Sat and Vyavaharika Asat. Therefore, what is the meaning of న సత్తన్నాసదుచ్యతే దట్ పర్టిక్యులర్ స్టేట్మెంట్ బ్రహ్మన్ ఇస్ నెయిదర్ రిలేటివ్ ఎగ్జిస్టెంట్ నార్ రిలేటివ్ నాన్ ఎగ్జిస్టెంట్ బట్ బ్రహ్మన్ ఈస్ అబ్సల్యూట్ ఎగ్జిస్టెన్స్ హియర్ కృష్ణ క్వయట్లీ టెల్స్ ఇతి ఉచ్యతే సో ఇట్ ఈస్ సెడ్ దట్స్ వాట్ హీ సేస్ కృష్ణ డజన్ క్లెయిమ్ దట్ ఇట్ ఈస్ హిస్ స్టేట్మెంట్ this iti uchyate that means what this teaching is not krishna's presentation krishna is quoting only the upanishads what has been already said in the upanishads in the vedas shloka 14 sarvata panipadam tat sarvatokshi shiromukham sarvata shruti malloke sarvamavritya tishtati so brahman is absolute existence and is the illuminator of relative existence and relative non-existence. That is what we saw in the previous shloka. So from this we have to go to one more step. If Brahman is the illuminator of relative existence and relative non-existence, then should Brahman be conscious principle or inert principle? It must be Chetana Tattvam, conscious principle only, and not a Jada Tattvam. So the absolute existence sat as an illuminator should be none other than chit. The existence principle should be none other than chit, the awareness principle. So chit, otherwise called jnanam, knowledge, etc. And here also, when we use the knowledge or chit, we should make a similar differentiation. Just as in existence, we have got relative existence and relative non-existence and an absolute existence as illuminator of both. Similarly, in knowledge also, there is relative knowledge and relative absence of knowledge or ignorance, which is also subject to coming and going, similar to relative existence. Not only that, this relative knowledge and the relative absence of knowledge, are they mutually exclusive or not? They are mutually exclusive because when there is knowledge, there is no ignorance. And when there is ignorance, there is no knowledge. And this relative knowledge and the relative absence of knowledge, are they both illumined or not? Knowledge also is known. Suppose, for example, I ask, do you know English? And you say, yes. That means what? Relative knowledge is known to us. And if I ask, do you know Chinese or Russian? And you will say, I don't. That means you know Chinese or Russian is not known to you also. So you know your knowledge and you know your ignorance also. And therefore, there is another knowledge, which is the illuminator of the relative presence of knowledge or relative absence of knowledge. And that knowledge is what? That is called the absolute knowledge, which alone we call it as Chaitanyam, awareness principle. So what is Parambrahma? Absolute existence and absolute knowledge. Satyam, Jnanam, Anantam. Param means Anantam. So the next question will be, how to know the absolute Satyam, Jnanam, Anantam, Brahma? Which is an extremely difficult question to answer. And Krishna is going to use the unique method of the Upanishads to answer this. This is called Adhyaropa Apavada method. Adhyaropa Apavada Jnaya to answer this question Krishna is going to use. We have seen this earlier also in other contexts, but we are going to go through it again here. The absolute is revealed indirectly. So Lakshana or Upalakshana we call it. What is this indirect method? Absolute is first revealed along with a relative thing. This is how the method works. The absolute is revealed first along with a relative thing because even though absolute is not relative, absolute also appears as relative when it is associated with a relative. So upadhikam, we call it so upadhikam. And then what do? Having revealed it along with a relative thing, then drop the relative thing. So what will be left out is absolute. So this method is called Adhyaropa Apavada method. So revealing with a relative thing is called Adhyaropa, introduction. Then removing the relative that is called apavada, that is negation. So introduction and negation. Okay, for this alone, we give the example of light. The pure light which pervades the room cannot be seen with our eyes. It is agocharam. The pure light cannot be seen with our eyes. Then what do? Then I introduce my hand in the plane. And now the pure light is associated with my hand. It is sopadika prakashaha. Associated with my hand is sopadika prakashaha. And this is the upadhi. Associated with the upadhi, hand. Then I ask you, what do you see here? And you will answer, you see my hand. Then ask the question, is there only a hand or something else also? You may not understand my question first. Then if I say, if hand only is there, will you be able to see it? If I ask that question, in utter darkness, can you see the hand? And you will say no. Here, you are not seeing the hand alone. You are seeing something else in addition to the hand, which is pervading the hand, which is making the hand a visible hand, a shining hand. Now, you have got knowledge of an additional principle, which is the illumining principle, namely the light principle. So, which has given the shine to this hand. This is called adhyaropa. I have introduced to you the shining principle with the help of the hand, which is relative. Without the hand, I cannot tell you about the shining principle. In darkness, my hand is not visible. Now it is visible. That means there must be another principle associated with the hand to make the hand known, because of which the non-shining hand becomes shining. Now, once I have talked about the shining principle, you will also think that the shining principle also is as big as the hand only. Why? You don't see light beyond the periphery of the hand. So, you have understood the light principle, but as a limited principle with the attributes of the hand. If the hand is longish, we think the light is also longer. So, upadhi dharman atmani prakashe adhyasayanti. So, that is what the definition is. We put the limitation of the upadhi on the light. Upadhi means the medium, the hand. So, even though this mistake has been committed, this thing is, we have understood that there is the lighting principle. That is the advantage. That itself is a big thing. Earlier we were saying that there is only hand. Now the progress is we say that there are two things, namely hand and light. But still we have not fully understood, because we still think that light also is parichinnam, limited. So what is the next job? I should say that the light is an illuminating principle upon the hand, but the light does not have the limitation of the hand. The dirt, movement, size, etc. of the hand, they do not belong to the light. Not only that, even when the hand goes away, light is still there without arrival and departure. Hand arrives and departs, but light is always there. So even if the hand goes away, light is there. So once I say this, then you would have understood the light principle. And you have understood the pure light principle without the limitation of the hand. But mind you, even when you say the pure light is formless, eyes do not see the pure light. So it is a form of understanding. Even if I become a jnani, I will not see pure light. But I know there is a pure light. I recognize or appreciate it, but I cannot see it. So you introduce the hand. Then introduce the shining principle through the hand, then remove the hand, then shining principle alone remains. This is adhyaropa apavada method. Similarly, in place of pure light, we have paramarthika satchit, which is jnayam brahma in this context. And this pure awareness, being absolute, is not available for our sense organs, for our concepts, for our inferences, etc. But one consolation is that this very same pure awareness, when associated with the body, the awareness becomes visible, becomes experienceable consciousness. Just as the pure light becomes the shining principle in the hand, the pure chit becomes the chit abhasaha, the consciousness which is experienceable by all. So I am a conscious principle or not, no one need to doubt it. It is an evident thing. It is self-evident. This consciousness we experience is the pure awareness. That is why no one can say, I have not experienced Brahman at all. Everybody, we are all experiencing it every moment of our lives. It is just like saying, I have not experienced pure light while you are experiencing the light in the hand, wherever it's sitting. So in fact, the light we experience in the hand is pure light only. Similarly, when every person is experiencing pain or pleasure, so pradibodha viditam madam, that's what it says. Every moment he is experiencing the consciousness only, which is nothing but the paramarthika chaitanyam, which is associated with the vyavaharika shariram. So whenever we say, I am experiencing consciousness, which is paramarthika chaitanyam associated with the vyavaharika shariram, the body. And this alone is called chitabhasaha or chit pratibimbaha or jivaha. So jiva bhutam mahabaho yeyedam dharyate jagate. So in the 7th chapter, Krishna said, this jiva is none other than the pure consciousness awareness, but associated with this body. So what is my first job? I have to reveal consciousness as associated with the body, which alone we call it as life, living being. Compositionally, the body also is made up of hydrogen, oxygen, calcium, carbon, iron, phosphorus, all those things. So no difference between an inert thing and this body also. But the living body is sentient because of the manifestation of consciousness, which is an additional principle like the light principle in our example. Because of this consciousness, the body is either called, the person is either called she or he. And once the consciousness is not there, the same body becomes what? It. Till the sentience is there, it is called she or he. The moment sentience goes away, it is called the dead body, it. So, swayam prakasha rupaha aham. Thus, revealing the consciousness or absolute, or as associated with the body, which is relative, that is the first step, that is the adhyaropa step. Okay, but is it over? No, it is not, because everyone thinks that the consciousness is as big as my body only. It is pervading all over the body, up to the tip of my fingers, but beyond the skin, there is no consciousness. That's what I think. And so the general conclusion we make is consciousness is limited, because we take the limitation of the body and attribute it to consciousness, the chaitanyam. And so what happens? My consciousness is, I call it 5 feet 7 inches and or 6 feet and so many 150 pounds, 200 pounds. Our ant's consciousness is like a dot because it is so small. Not only consciousness becomes limited, it becomes divided, it becomes many, there are millions of jivas, we say. So all those things we keep on saying because of this ignorance. We count the jivas, while jiva is uncountable. We see the uncountable consciousness. So we can count the body, that's fine, but not the jivas, which is none other than the consciousness. Now, my second job is what? Adhyaropa is done already, introduction is done. Second one is apavadaha, negation. Even though consciousness is associated with the body, the consciousness is free from the limitations of the body, the vikarams, the modifications of the body. Asti, jayate, vardate, viparinamate, apakshiyate, vinashyati, all the sixfold modifications of the body. All these modifications, in thought what? Na jayate, mriyate, va kadachit, nayam bhutva, bhavita, va nabuyaha. We already saw that. So, ajo nityaha, shashvatoyam, puranaha, nahanyate, hanyamane, sharire. we saw all those shlokas. So let any number of people come and destroy the body, the Chaitanyam cannot be destroyed. Just as by cutting the hand, we cannot cut the light. Even though the light is intimately associated with the hand, by cutting the hand, one cannot cut the light. This alone we call as immanence or transcendence. It is intimately associated. That is immanent. At the same time, nothing happens to it. If anything happens to the body, nothing happens to it. Achedyoyam, adahyoyam, akledyaham, asoshyayevacha. All those, we already saw those shlokas. It is not affected by what is happening to the body. That is called transcendental. In Sanskrit, immanent is called antaryami and transcendent is called asangaha. Antaryami means it is in everybody, and asangaha means all the doshas of the shariram, defects of the shariram, they do not affect it. Punyam va, papam va, sukham va, dukkham va, rogo va, jara va, all those things, they cannot affect the consciousness at all. Because Chaitanyam is transcendental and immanent, in and through all, but not affected by all. Once I have said that, what is left out? Consciousness alone is left out without the limitations of the body-mind complex. Therefore, the relativity of the body-mind complex are gone. Which is left out is Aham Brahmasmi, I, the pure consciousness, am Brahman. But to say that, we should be associated with the body. That is how the method works. So associate with the body, negate the body, only consciousness remains. Because pure consciousness will not say Aham Brahmasmi. Only this body has to say that. Pure consciousness will not say. Only the jiva or the chidabhasa, that alone says. But in my understanding, I don't associate myself with the body. To see the light, I use the hand. But to understanding of the light, I don't mix up with the hand at all. To experience I, the Chaitanyam, I should associate with my body. But in understanding, I should not mix up with the body at all. That is what Krishna says here. Sarvataha pani padam tat. This is adhyaropa. When the pure awareness is associated with the relative body, it becomes what? Jivaha or chitabhasaha. And once it is appearing as jivaha, the reflected consciousness, that's the chitabhasaha, it has got hand, legs, pani, padam. Pani means hands, padam is legs. So when it is appearing as a jiva, it has got all of them. How many hands and legs? As many jivas are there, as many pairs of hands and legs are there. So sarvataha, pani padam tat. The pure awareness has got many hands and legs when it is appearing as a jiva. Not only that, sarvataha, akshi shiro mukham. The very pure consciousness, awareness, again associated with the body as jiva, is endowed with akshi, shiraha, mukham. Akshi means the eyes, shiraha the head, and mukham means mouth. It is associated with all of them. Tat refers to the jnayam. Brahma is the thing to be known, that Brahma is endowed with all hands, legs, eyes, heads, mouth when it is associated with the body. In fact, this is not true. This is only the adhyaropa stage we should understand. Krishna is compromising. Really speaking, pure awareness does not have hands or legs at all. But pure awareness is now become what? A jiva. Jiva means what? I. Now, when the Brahman has become I, now the jiva, what happened? I have got legs, I have got hands, I have got head, all that. Thus, it is only in adhyaropa stage, hands, legs, etc. are attributed. Later on, I will say, after awareness, there is no leg or no hand or no mouth. So, pani padam becomes apani padoham achintya shaktihi. That is the next stage. But here he says, sarvato akshi shiromukham. Not only that, sarvataha shrutimate. Again, the Parambrahma, the pure awareness, appearing in the form of jiva, is endowed with many number of ears. Shruti refers to ears. Shruti means totram, shrotram. Shrotram means the shrotrendriyam. So sarva, if there is a shrota, shravanendriyam. So the legs of all jivas is Brahman's legs, the eyes, the hands, heads, etc. So sahasra shirsha purushaha, sahasraksha sahasrapat. So from this angle alone, we call him Virat. All hands and legs are all his. So adhyaropa avasthayam Virat. Hiranyagarbha, Virata Hiranyagarbha, and Apavada Avasthayam Shuddham Brahma. So at the time of Adhyaropa, the Virat. And at the time of Apavada, it is only Shuddham Brahma without any of those attributes. So when you associate with one body, he is called Jivaha. When associated with all bodies, he is called Virat or Hiranyagarbha. When associated with no body, it is called Brahma. So when it is associated with one body, it's called Jivaha. Associated with many bodies, all bodies, called Virat or Hiranyagarbha. When associated with no body, is called Brahman. And Loke Sarvam Avritya Tishtati. This pure awareness remains, Tishtati remains, pervading everything. Sarvam Avritya means pervading everything. Avritya, covering me, covering or pervading. Sarvam, sarvam everything. Loke, loke in this world. So here also we see the beauty. Previously, the Krishna said, Brahman has got all hands and legs. At that time, we may think that Brahman is only in place where jivas are there. That's what we will think. Because when you say, Brahman has got hands and legs, that's what we will think. Wherever there are jivas, there is Brahman. We will think Brahman is in this body and that body and not in the middle. That's what we will think. So Krishna says, Sarva Mavritya Tishtati. Not only Brahman is Chaitanyam in all bodies, Brahman is the Chaitanyam in between the bodies also. Don't think there is no Chaitanyam there because there is no body there. Light is not only associated with the hand, it is associated with all hands. And finally, not only associated with all bodies here, it is in between the bodies also. Invisible, pick up pure light. Similarly, the pure consciousness is non-recognizable. Therefore, sarvam avritya tishtati. So, the whole shloka is what? Adhyaropa shloka. That's what it is, entire shloka is this. Shloka 15. Sarvendriya guna bhasam, sarvendriya vivarjitam, asaktam sarva bhrichaiva, nirgunam guna bhoktrucham. So, as we saw earlier, Param Brahma is the pure consciousness which is not available for any Pramanam. To reveal this absolute Brahman, Krishna adopts this unique method of Upanishads called Adhyaropa Apavada, which we just saw. So, the absolute is revealed indirectly as the Lakshana or Upalakshana that we call it. That's what it is put here. So, where the absolute is first revealed along with the relative thing. Having revealed it along with the relativity, I am only just repeating what I just said earlier, just for us to understand. So, in this shloka, Krishna is mixing up both Adhyaropa and Apavada. What it does? Sarvendriya Guna Bhasam. So, association and Sarvendriya Guna Varjitam, negation. Association with all Gunas, Guna Bhasam and Sarvendriya Vivarjitam, negation. Sarva Brithe. Again, association, asaktam, negation. Guna boktre, association, nirguna, negation. So, we have to make sure the order. In the first line, first the adhyaropa and then apavada. And in the second line, it is reversed. Should be sarvabrit asaktam and then guna boktre nirgunam. But he put it the other way. So, sarva indriya guna abhasam. Shining, abhasam means shining, abhasate. It shines very much along with the function, guna, pravritti of all sense organs. So, it shines along with the functions of all the sense organs. When we use our ears, what do we get? Shabda jnanam. That's what we get. But shabda jnanam is possible only because the jnanam chaitanyam is associated with shabda. We say, I am conscious of the sound. So, the consciousness there or not? When we say, I hear, I am conscious of the sound. Therefore, in every hearing, what is manifest? Consciousness is manifest. When we say, I see, ear and sound have gone. Eye and form alone have come. Thus, ear and sound have been eliminated. Eye and form have come. And we say, I see means what? I am conscious of form. That means consciousness is continuing. The only organs have changed. At the time of hearing, I was conscious of hearing. At the time of seeing, I am conscious of seeing. So consciousness continues, only hearing disappeared. So the mode of function varies, but everywhere I am conscious. Whether it is pain or joy or whatever it is, in and through all of them, consciousness is evident. This is called adhyaropa, because it is associated with hearing, seeing, etc. So consciousness manifests through the sense organs. That's fine. But consciousness does not exist because of sense organs. It manifests through the sense organs, but it does not exist because of sense organs. When sense organs are damaged or the life itself is gone, it's a dead body now. The sense organs are no more capable of manifesting consciousness. And so the defect is in the sense organs, not in consciousness. Consciousness still is in a dead body also. In what form? Not as Chidabhasa Rupena. If it is Chidabhasa, it will become evident. In the evident Chidabhasa form, it is available only in the living body. In a dead body, no more Chidabhasa form, but in what form? In Chit form. Not in Chidabhasa. Chidabhasa is the reflected consciousness. It is not as a reflect, because reflecting medium is gone. So in the Chit form, that is what is called a pure consciousness. So in Adhyaropa, Chidabhasa comes. In Apavada, Chit alone is there. When I insert the hand, light Abhasa is there. When I remove the hand, light is there. The Abhasa is gone. So what is difference between light Abhasa and light? Light Abhasa is evident for you to recognize. Light is not evident. That is the difference. So Krishna said, Sarvendriya Gunabhasam. Consciousness is evident as Chidabhasa in all sense activities. Sarvendriya. At the same time, the consciousness itself, Parambrahma consciousness, is free from connections with all the sense organs. Sarvendriya guna vivachita. So the first word is adhyaropa and the second word is apavada. Then in the second line, sarvabhruta. Sarvabhruta is adhyaropa and asaktam is apavada. Sarvabhruta means what? It sustains everything. It is the adhishtanam of everything. That means it is the very existence in everything. Adhishtana means it is Satta Pradhatru. Satta Pradhatru means the one that provides existence. Satta. Because we know Adhishtanam supports everything. So gold is the Adhishtanam for all ornaments. Because gold lends existence to all ornaments. Similarly, Brahman is the Adhishtanam to all. It gives existence to all. That means Brahman is the Sat in all. Yasyeva Spuranam Sadatmakam Asatkalpartakam Vasate. We saw it in Dakshinamurti Stotram. Whenever we say anything is, the very existence belongs to Brahman. The isness belongs to Brahman. So previously when we said Sarvendriya Gunabhasam, the Chit aspect was mentioned. And when we say Sarvabhruta, the Sat aspect of Brahman is revealed. So okay, when we say Brahman is the Sat, existence principle, which is intimately associated with everything, then one might think the limitations and defects of everything will affect the Sat. Therefore, it has got doshas. Then Sat also must have doshas. Should have. Because it is associated with what? With associated with the world. The existence principle associated with the world. World is full of doshas. And so Krishna says, asaktam. It is intimately associated with all the supporter, all right. Sarva Bhruta sustained, Sarva Adhishtanam, at the same time, not connected with anything really at all. How is it possible? Is it not a contradiction? For example, if I put a colored powder on a white cloth, the white cloth supports the powder, that's okay. But the color of the powder also comes to the white cloth. So if something is connected, the guna dosha will be transferred. That is why our dress becomes dirty. When we sit on a dirty place, it becomes dirty. Similarly, a doubt may come. Brahman is the very adhishtanam associated with everything. The sthula shariram, the sukshma shariram, the karana shariram, the sthula sukshma karana prapancha, everything. And world is full of defects, doshas, physical defects, mental defects, intellectual defects, all of them. So will not Brahman be affected by them? But Krishna says, no. Because of what? Asaktam. How is it possible? Is it not a contradiction? It is possible only in one way. Brahman is satyam and jagat is mithya. Brahman is real. The world is unreal. If both are equally real, certainly the defects of the world will affect. At least Ishvara must worry about the world. Oh, it is going like this, that so many people are tortured, suffering, animals are killed. Ishvara must be worried. So we will find that Brahman cannot remain the same if both are real. What affects one will affect the other also. You cannot escape it. So if Brahman has to remain Shuddham Brahma, in spite of the world, it is only because the whole world is unreal. It is mithya and Brahman is satyam. And because of that only that can happen. It is like what? Whatever happens in a movie does not affect the screen. Screen supports the hero. That's all fine. Here is, you know, hero is moving about where? On the screen. There may be quarrel, world war, Hiroshima bomb. Everything can happen. Millions might die. Scream, blood, all over. All happening on the screen. And after seeing that movie, do we need to wash the screen or clean it? No. Nothing happens to the screen because movie and the happenings are mithya. And the screen is satyam. Satyam supports mithya. It is antaryami of mithya. At the same time, satyam is asaktam, is asangaha. Satyam supporting mithya is antaryami of mithya as the antaryami. At the same time, satyam is asaktam, asangaha. Actually, we saw in the last webinar, so in the actually previous slokas, antaryami means immanent, asangaha, transcendent. So screen is immanent, closely connected. At the same time, screen is transcendent, it is unaffected. That is why we say achedyoyam, adahyoyam in that shloka. Earlier we studied in the second chapter. Similarly, Param Brahma as Satchit is Sarvabhrita. Sustains everything but asaktam, not connected with anything, asangaha. How should one recognize pure? Sat then, take any object. Suppose we say this particular table or anything. If we say the table is, there is the isness, the existence we recognize as Brahman. But not pure Brahman, but the isness, existence associated with the table, name and form. So, nama rupa sahita satta. This is called adhyaropa. In adhyaropa, we recognize that sat along with the nama rupa. So, savisheshaha sat. Then what do we do? Remove the limitation of the nama rupa. And what is that? The very same sat without the nama rupa paricheda. It is the limitless sat. Like recognizing the light. We gave the example in the hand. But we don't keep the limitations of the hand in the light. Similarly, we recognize the sat in the table. Do not attribute the limitations of the table to sat. Similarly, desk is and all that thing. So similarly, take the whole creation. Remove the nama rupa, what will be left is the pure sat. But pure sat cannot be seen. For seeing pure sat, has to be associated with a name and form, nama rupa. Adulterated sat can be experienced. Adulterated sat associated nama rupa. Just like pure gold cannot be made to an ornament, some copper has to be added. Otherwise, it is so too malleable. Same way, pure sat cannot be available for transaction. One can experience only nama rupa sahita sat. Pure sat is to be only understood, like pure light is understood, not seen. So sarva brit at the same time asaktam. And guna boktru and nirgunam. Guna boktru is adhyaropa and nirgunam is apavada. Guna boktru means what? Here the word guna stands for all the objects and the experiences of the world, that is guna. So guna stands for guna vikaraha. Gunavikarah. Because of the world is the modification of the three gunas that we have seen earlier. We have seen in Tattvabodha also, since the world is the modification of the three gunas, sattva, rajas and tamas, we will see that more actually later in the 14th chapter. Since the world is modification of the three gunas, the world itself is called gunaha sometimes. Not only the world, the experience born out of them also, sukham, dukkham, moha, all that. Sukham means what? Sattva guna. And dukkham is rajoguna, moha is delusion, is tamoguna, all those things. So the world and its experiences are here called guna. And bhoktru means what? The experiencer, the one who experiences. The pure consciousness is revealed as associated with an object of the world. And with respect to every object, consciousness becomes what? Subject, drik. Subject is called drik in Vedanta. So, from the standpoint of drishyam, the object to be known, consciousness is introduced as drik, the subject, the experiencer, the knower principle. This is called adhyaropa, and that is, I am conscious of a person, I am conscious of a tree, conscious of an object. That is tree consciousness, man consciousness, woman consciousness. Thus, initially I reveal consciousness as associated with one object or the other. And thereafterwards, we ask you to drop the objects. So, what is man consciousness after dropping the man? What is table consciousness after dropping table? What is smell consciousness after dropping smell? Now, do we say when the object is gone, consciousness also is gone? No, the object is gone, consciousness has not gone. Man consciousness minus man is not zero, but it is consciousness. That is why in meditation, sometimes people complain, I have removed all my thoughts, I have emptied my mind, and I find there is nothing. It's the problem is what? That they say they find nothing, they forget to ask the question, who says there is nothing? Who is aware of that nothing? Therefore, an empty mind is not an empty mind. An empty mind is objectless consciousness. What is empty mind is the consciousness without an object to illumine. Therefore, what is left is consciousness. And this consciousness is subject or object is the question. As long as the object is there, consciousness can be called a subject. And when the object is removed, consciousness cannot be subject also, because subject is with respect to an object. There is no concept of subject without the concept of object. Drishya apekshaya, drik, drishyam vina, drishyaha, driktvam api na sambhavati. Cannot be there. Then what is left out? The pure consciousness, which is neither subject nor object, that alone is left out. Na antaha pragyam, na bahir pragyam, na pragyana ghanam. So that's what it is. I will take just about 2 more minutes to finish this shloka. So in Mandukya Upanishad, this is called Thuriyam. Therefore, introducing the consciousness as the subject, as the experiencer, is called adhyaropa. And later we say it is not even an experiencer. Okay, how do we introduce consciousness as an experiencer? By introducing an object. Once an object comes, I will automatically be the experiencer of the object. That I bring an object, introduce you as an experiencer of the object. Then negate the object and then say there is no experienced object. And therefore, you are not an experiencer also. And that is called apavada. Introducing the experiencer is adhyaropa. Negating as an experiencer is apavada. Okay, then the question will be, why should we negate the experiencer? Let it be there. What is the problem? Adhyaropa says, I am the subject, experiencer. I am the consciousness principle, is the knower of all things. Why can't we stop with that? We can't stop with that because as long as I remain as an experiencer, I am a limited entity or not. As an experiencer, I am limited. Therefore, experiencer status limits me. Knower status limits me. That is why they say in meditation, never try to experience something. Because in meditation, if one experiences something, one is an experiencer and will have finitude. Experiencer is in the beginning stage, and then I knock off the experiencer hood. So this is called pramatritva nivrittihi kartavya. So therefore Krishna does Gunabhoktru cha, he says. Gunabhoktru is the introduction of the experiencer. So Parambrahma is the experiencer of all gunas. And then at the same time, Nirgunam Parambrahma is not associated with any of those gunas. That is Sukham Nasti, Dukkham Nasti, Mohaha Nasti, nothing. So Sattva Vikaraha, Rajo Vikaraha, Tamo Vikaraha, Sarve Api Chaitanye Nasanti. The Chaitanyam, none of those things are there. Why it is not there? Because of the simple logic, the illuminator does not have the properties of the illumined object. This is the law. The illuminator does not have the properties of the illumined object. If the light illumines a small object, the smallness belongs to the object only, not to the light. If there is any light, the question doubt on this, the smallness belongs to the object or not. If the light illumines a big object, the bigness again belongs to the object then and not the light. So if the light illumines a dirty object, dirtiness also should belong to, it belongs to the object only and not to the light. Similarly, the consciousness illumines the dirt of the mind. And so the dirt belongs to the mind and not the consciousness. Similarly, consciousness illumines the ragadvesha of the mind, and the ragadvesha belong to the mind and not the consciousness. That is why Krishna said in the sixth shloka of this chapter, Icha dveshaha sukham dukham sangatas chetana dhritihi etat kshetram samasena savikaram udahritam. That's what he said. So ragadvesha are also kshetram because they are the properties belonging to the kshetram. Kshetrajnaha illumines the kshetram and kshetra dharmas are vikaras. But kshetrajna does not have ragadveshas. And remember, we are all kshetrajnas and therefore we are nirgunam, parambrahma, free from sattva, rajas and tamo gunas, as well as their vikaras, namely sukham, dukkham and mohaha, etc. So we'll stop here and continue in the next webinar.